Mr. Edward Yeomans, Ed to me, has finally decided that he will be willing to be taped. Ed's family has brought more people, I think, not native, to Westport than any other person. Ed's father, I understand, discovered Westport when sailing down the eastern coast of Massachusetts, fell in love with it, bought some land eventually, and brought his family. I know that Ed's beginnings are not here in Westport, but that his heart and real roots are. I'm Mary Giles, speaking with him this bright November afternoon. Ed, where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, Mary.
You were?
Mm-hmm. And we lived in Winnetka, and my father worked in Chicago for a great many years.
Mm-hmm.
Every single summer while I was growing up, we came to Westport Point.
Mm-hmm. When did your father make this sailing voyage down the coast and discover Westport, or did he? Was that something I just heard?
Well, the word discover is perhaps not the one I would use, because after all, Westport had been a very substantial fishing and farming community for many, many years before my father or my family ever heard of it. But from the point of view of summer people, he was, in fact, I guess, one of the first to settle here and come regularly.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, that cruise, when he and his brother chartered a catboat in New Bedford and sailed west along the coast, I think took place in about 1890.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during that cruise that they came into Westport Point to get out of a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And came ashore and spent a night or two.
Mm-hmm.
As you said quite properly, fell in love with the village and the harbor and the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And decided that if they possibly could, they would continue to return here.
Mm-hmm. And what made it possible for them to?
I suppose my father's business by that time gave him enough of a vacation so that he could afford to come and spend from 2 to 3 weeks every summer. I remember that he had to go back long before we did.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother and brother and I would stay on through August. My father would return to Chicago until much later on, when he was able to take the whole summer off, and in fact, when he was retired from business.
When he retired.
Yes.
When you were young, and he and your mother were first coming, did he bring many of his friends as you do?
Yes. There were always friends who came and took part of their vacation here. I didn't know the earliest crop, who were my father's contemporaries in Winnetka and Chicago, with the exception of one,
mm-hmm.
whom I remember, and that was Beba Spicer.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, my father wrote a book, a pamphlet really, a small paperback, about Beba Spicer, which is a remarkable description of an artist.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our library here, and I think people would enjoy reading it.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yes. And he was one who came with father and he and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived in different places. And on one occasion, I remember my father saying that he won a raffle ticket, the only one he ever won, which gave him an electric automobile.
That's marvelous.
The electric automobile was sold, and with the proceeds, land was bought for the Spicers.
I see.
And that's how the Spicers first acquired their land in Westport Point.
That's wonderful. Now, you have several different houses on the property. When did he buy the property?
Well, he bought the first bit of land, I think, perhaps in about 1908 or 9, from the Mackamer family,
mm-hmm.
who were farming it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as their younger members, like Otis
mm-hmm.
Mackamer, moved away from Westport, they finally sold off more and more until they sold the whole farm, and father bought it piece by piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw the beginnings of a very small house in that first year, and then little by little it was added to. And then when his mother and the maiden aunt, his sister, whose life was devoted to taking care of the old lady, when they wanted to move here from North Carolina for the summers, he built them a second house on the property. So there are
that
two.
That was Aunt Mary.
That's known as Mary's house.
Yes. And then this, your house, the big house it's known as, is the one that was small at first and kept being added to and added to. And then,
as my brother and I grew and our friends came, we needed more space. And as the family had more friends coming to stay, and since you asked about such friends, the ones that I remember perhaps most vividly from those early days after Mr. Spicer were the people who came down from Concord Summer School. Thomas Whitney Surratt and his various colleagues, including Lyle Ring and his wife, and Bob Delaney, and a number of composers and musicians would come, taking weekends from the summer school. We all went to the summer school during the weeks, and then we would have these great gatherings on the weekends of musical people, partly just to rest on the beach, but usually to make music too while we're here. And then another kind of group that came with me and my friends were instrumental players. And we really had a kind of chamber music house party weekends during those years.
Now, how old were you about this?
I was in college.
This was at that time. College.
And playing a great deal and singing a great deal.
And where were you living by that time?
And I was living in Cambridge and at college, and then summers either here or in the West. And
you mean by the West, Winnetka, or?
No, in this, by this time, I was working in California when I was in college, and in school, in fact, as a cowboy and a mule packer in the mountains. I loved the mountains, and I loved animals.
Well, I got all these details, you see. We can't skip over anything, because this is what I'm after.
Yes. Well, as you can, as you're beginning to see, my life was divided during those school years and on into college between, well, of course, winters in school and studying, but summers in various adventuresome activities, including a lot of sailing, cruising. My father had a yaw, and we had many happy days cruising in her with him and with his, our friend here in Westport, on the one hand. And on the other hand, I was equally attracted to the life of a mountaineer and a guide. And I guided parties through the Rocky Mountains and the Sierras. A number of summers, doing all of the responsible work of looking after the horses and mules and the rest. And rather thought I would go into that profession at one stage, because I loved the West and the outdoors. And I studied geology in college, and thinking that I would become an outdoor scientist. That changed to oceanography, and I did spend one summer on an oceanographic research vessel, the Atlantis, which was based in Woods Hole, but I was one of the ones, the lucky ones, I may say, who helped to bring her from Copenhagen, where she was built, to Woods Hole. And that occupied a whole summer.
Where in your educational career were you at this time?
I was still in college.
I know. Were you junior, senior?
I was a senior.
Senior.
Yes.
So your last college experience was this,
oceanographic work, and I thought seriously of going into oceanography, because I love the sea, and I also love biology and the sciences. But it was 1933, and I felt that I wanted to go to work. There weren't many opportunities, and so I took the first teaching job that was offered, and I've been a teacher ever since. And I don't regret it at all.
You don't?
No.
I wondered about
I've loved my work as a teacher. Very much.
I always think of you as a teacher, of course, because that's all I've ever known you, more or less, as.
Yes.
Where was your first teaching job?
It was at the school that I went to in California called the Thatcher School.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught there for 2 years, and then I became interested in younger children. That was a high school. And so when I was offered a job at Shady Hill in Cambridge,
mm-hmm.
By Catherine Taylor, who was the great headmistress of that school, I accepted it and felt very lucky,
mm-hmm.
and came, and I've had Shady Hill as a very central part of my life ever since,
mm-hmm.
first as teacher and then as headmaster.
Mm-hmm. And coming, being able, it was near enough to Westport, so that when
yes.
you were working in Shady Hill, you could come down quite
yes.
often, and it was very pleasant.
And of course, that was much easier than the earlier pattern had been of commuting from Chicago, or for a while from California,
yes.
Because we did move to California when
yes.
my father started his school.
He did. You
he,
did.
He started a school in California, and
I want to hear about that a little
bit
more in detail. No, we don't have to hurry quite this much.
All right,
you do.
We'll take our time. You see, he was not an educator; he was a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
But he served as a citizen on the Winnetka, Illinois School Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And while doing so, he became very much interested in what was happening in the Winnetka public schools, which, as you know, are among the most interesting of any group of public schools in the country, and especially were so at that time.
Mm-hmm. What time was
this? This is First World War,
mm-hmm.
and immediately afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So his interest led to some articles which he wrote and were published in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, and this is really a unique story as far as I know in the history of the founding of independent schools, one day he received a call or a letter, I forget which, from a man in Philadelphia who said, I'm so intrigued by what you have written in these three articles in the Atlantic Monthly. And I have this son who I wanted to take to the West Coast because of his health,
mm-hmm.
but I can't find a school that I would put him in.
Mm-hmm.
If you will leave whatever it is you're doing and move to the West Coast, I will build a school plant for you that will embody these ideas, and I'll underwrite any reasonable deficit for the first 5 years.
Yes.
Well,
think of what an opportunity that would be for
an opportunity for someone who could not possibly have done that himself.
No.
And father accepted, and we moved to Ojai. He had a beautiful school designed and built, modest.
How old were you then?
I was about 10.
Mm-hmm.
About 10.
Mm-hmm.
And
so this is before you came back to Harvard. Did you
yes.
come back to Harvard from Ojai?
Went first to Thatcher School
yes.
As a high school student,
mm-hmm.
and then back to Harvard after graduation from high school.
Mm-hmm. Did your father stay on at Ojai while you
there.
Were coming back to Cambridge?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He stayed there until he died.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to say ran that school. He never ran it, never having had any training or experience mm-hmm. in schools other than as a citizen member of a school board. So he employed a professional
mm-hmm.
whose name was Gudrun Thompson from the Francis Parker School in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is all interesting to me too, because when and where did your father meet your mother in all of this?
Well,
coming and going.
That's an interesting story too, Mary, because when my father was just getting on the sort of career ladder in his business, he was still working as a chemist and an inventor in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and living at Hull House.
Mm-hmm.
Being the son of a minister, he had to work for everything he had, and having four younger brothers and sisters, three of whom he'd put through college,
mm-hmm.
it meant that he had very little extra, and everything went into supporting those other members of the family. So here was this hardworking young man living at Hull House and running a boys' club. for the sons of immigrant families.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? Because, you see, Mark ran the Boys Club when he was at Holocaust.
I remember that, of course. We've discussed this.
Yes, you know, I know. He followed right in your father's footsteps.
Yes, right. And, of course, my father was a great admirer of Jane Addams, as mm-hmm. all of us were, even though we didn't know her, but he worked very closely with her. And one day, to that service, came my mother from Lake Forest, from quite a different background. She was really the rebellious debutante, trying to get away from the family pattern of Lake Forest life and provide service, offer service mm-hmm. to the youngsters at mm-hmm. Hull House. Mm-hmm. And here she met this interesting young chemist, and who was involved also with the same kinds of interests. And from that friendship, their marriage grew.
Mm-hmm. And so she came to California with him, and she came back here with him, and they went together all along.
Oh, yes.
Until he died first.
He died first, yes. She lived, I guess, 15 years after he died.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a very important influence in his life. It was a bit abrasive at times, but without her, he would not have kept going and kept applying his energies to, in a sustained way, to the things that he did.
Mm-hmm.
First the Ojai Valley School, then the book that he wrote, and other kinds of projects. She kept after it.
Mm-hmm. She felt as if she discovered someone, and
yes.
he wasn't going to be less than she thought he.
I think that
her discovery was.
I think that's right. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was not so uncommon.
No, that was perfectly normal.
Right.
I was reading about some of the Cushings and
yes,
so on.
We can think of others like
yes.
that, I think.
So your father was a sailor, a chemist, an explorer, just as you've been, in a way. You've never been a chemist, but you were an oceanographer.
Scientist.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it more out of necessity, and he followed in the paths that led always to greater security in business. He had to.
Mm-hmm.
And he became an inventor, finally, and patented some of his inventions. He was then started
mm-hmm.
and began to manufacture the gadgets,
mm-hmm.
and this was the basis of his business.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas my direction has been a good deal more diffuse, because I was able to
mm-hmm.
experiment, adventure more, and try different things.
Yes, you
I've
reaped
been very
the
lucky.
Rewards of his
oh, yes.
experimentation in your mother's
background. Right. Well,
mm-hmm.
I've been very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But other qualities of father that need mentioning are that he was essentially a very good musician.
Mm-hmm.
He a self-taught cellist, but he knew music, he understood music and loved it, and played moderately well, but loved playing, and always had friends around him to play chamber music.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a first-rate craftsman.
Mm-hmm.
And we have still some of the models that he built. Some of them here in Westport, some in California and elsewhere, wherever he lived. He was always had a shop
mm-hmm.
and tools.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always very much occupied with building models of the things he cared most about, which were, of course, boats.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Of course, you know, you have, in your life, you've really sort of grown to emulate him in many ways, haven't you?
In many ways, yes. I haven't followed a number of his paths, particularly that of craftsmanship. I'm a very poor craftsman, actually.
Are you? I didn't realize that.
Well, you know, I can do the rough work, but I have don't have the patience or
mm-hmm.
the skill.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I've followed him in my interest in music. I also play the cello.
I know.
And in sailing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say that I follow him in writing, because among his attainments was that of a very good writer. I consider his writing to be first rate. It's vivid and poetic, and he has a great command of language. I don't, but I love to write.
You know, I think you're mistaken there about yourself.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're a good writer. Let's see, who it was that I gave you a little piece to yesterday? Someone who's really quite a good writer, and, oh, I know, and he's not a good writer. He's a person who would appreciate, and he's interested in education.
Oh, yeah.
I gave it to Ted Mead.
Oh, right, yes.
And he really, I taped him the other day, and he has a very solid philosophy of education,
yes.
And he was eager to get my copy of your article. And
I'm glad you gave it to Ted.
And, you know, I think it may be interesting to you that what we're going to do is model all of our transcripts of the tapes on the little plastic-coated, covered piece you gave me on your article.
Oh, good.
You see, each one will then be preserved in this little plastic, and
yes.
They'll all go into something about this big. There are going to be 1,300 or 1,400 pages or more
good.
Of it, but
that's
each
good.
Individual will stand alone, and so
yes.
Anybody can pick any one that
that's
they
good.
Would like to read about and
that's
read
good.
Them. And then the tapes, of course, will be there too, duplicated. Gilbert
yes.
and I are duplicating the tape.
Yes.
That's just beside the point in a way.
Well,
but,
I'm glad to know that.
That's
good.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the people you've brought now.
Yes.
Here your father brought people, and
yes.
you did that. Now, so many, for instance, I'm here because of you.
Yes, yes. Well, I remember when we found this house.
I know. And you came up with that chair.
Yes, that chair, that's right. Oh, we'd been knowing Mabel and her mother here for all those years, you know. And,
yes. Jean was bringing rags out for Mabel to weave.
I know, right.
And you thought I was crazy. Edie says you said, has Mary lost her mind?
I really couldn't see how you were ever going to cope with it. That's what I thought. And you did, and look at it. It's beautiful.
Well, it is. I think it's beautiful. I'm leaving it all undone
well,
because Mike and I were going to do so many things with it, but those I can't do.
Well, it's true,
but,
Mary, that I think we've been very fortunate in that people like you and Mike have really loved Westport. It was only that all we had to do was ask you for a weekend and sort of introduce you
mm-hmm.
to the place.
Mm-hmm.
And the place did the rest.
Yes.
So it was not our doing, really,
no.
But we are very lucky that
yes.
so many have felt the way you do about it, and Mike did, and of course that includes a great many of.
I was going to ask you to name
friends.
Some of the people. For instance, how did Greg?
Well, Greg Tucker and
Tony
happened
to come.
Came through us because of our mutual interest in music
mm-hmm.
and in sailing,
mm-hmm.
and they spent several summers in our one of our houses.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Klaus Liebman and Ollie Liebman,
yes.
likewise. Going way back to Kit Adams,
yes.
who spent summers in here and then finally bought her own house, and the Harrises,
mm-hmm.
who came being friends, perhaps more of my family than
mm-hmm.
of me, but mutual friends. And
Lowering, friends of your family,
yes.
but also of you.
Taught at the Ojai Valley School,
mm-hmm.
that's how he was close,
taught there.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
close to my father.
Mm-hmm.
From that experience, and I can't begin to think of the number who have sort
well,
of.
Well, think.
Been
let's
rich.
Pause a minute. You think, because I think people will be interested because.
Well,
know.
Well, of course, Arthur and Jerry Kohlenberg. She is
yes.
now Mrs. Louis Zetzel,
yes.
Who bought what had been my brother's
mm-hmm.
house and lived in it happily until Arthur's death, and now continue to come, and the children
mm-hmm.
love it,
mm-hmm.
and. So they've been an addition.
Did the Decknetels?
The Decknetels, likewise, were friends of my family.
Mm-hmm.
From Chicago.
From Chicago
were,
and Hull House.
They were, yeah, and Hull House. They were
mm-hmm.
good friends from way back
mm-hmm.
there. And then, of course, our cousins, the Trueblots,
mm-hmm.
Came.
Have recently come.
Yes. When Lorman was ready to retire,
mm-hmm.
he'd been coming for part of a vacation for a summer or two, and.
Mm-hmm.
So it was logical that they would come,
mm-hmm.
and we helped them find that nice house that they're
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who all, but the Rockwells, who live up the street from us,
mm-hmm.
the Paul Rockwells,
mm-hmm.
and many others. And so we feel very, very pleased and happy that so many friends are available
well,
to us.
You can see how
seen.
You've enriched Westport's life. This is what I'm why I'm taping you.
Well.
Be- because you have,
we've been
in this way,
indirectly responsible, yes, I suppose you could say so, for quite a number of interesting people who've added to the life and the interest of this community.
Yes.
Yes, I think that's true, Mary.
Yes.
And as I say, not through anything that we've done except to just introduce them, and the community itself
has been... Well, it's such a beautiful place.
Yes.
And it offers so much.
That's it.
And how...
That's it.
I'd like to keep on asking questions, but I thought we wouldn't make a very long tape.
No.
And I think I've
to the point of
I want
my
to talk
last
a little bit
one.
About Georgia.
Oh, all right.
Now, you see, because you have had different kinds of jobs. You were at Shady Hill for a while, and then
yes.
you went away from... You left Shady Hill.
Yes.
Where'd you go from there?
Well, you see, my career seems to be an odd one in that I never stayed put terribly long in any one situation. I always became restless and would look for something that would not be out of education, because everything I've been done has been in the field of education, but which would involve me in education in a very different setting.
Mm-hmm. But you were learning.
I was learning. Mm-hmm. I was learning. That's true. And so, having had 17 very happy years at Shady Hill, I left to go into the Peace Corps and train Peace Corps volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, having had 6 happy years of teaching, I left in Shady Hill and Thatcher School, I left those jobs, that kind of job, for Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
This is your question.
Yeah, that's quite a change, you see.
That's quite a change.
You weren't teaching, really,
no.
In Georgia. You were in charge of?
Adult education, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Had to do with community development and the experiences of college students as people working with parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that my students from the college went out with me as I went my rounds in the communities and helped the farmers and their children and wives and families to do community things,
mm-hmm.
which you remember.
Yes, I was thinking of your cooperatives.
Cooperatives were the basis of it, but not the only thing we did, because, you know, Mike was very much involved in these things with me. There was the public health side of it, and there was the rural electrification side of it, and there were many, many.
There was the political side of it, too.
Political side of it, and the agricultural side with Porter Claxton.
Yeah.
You know, that was what was so wonderful about that effort at adult education, was that it was comprehensive.
Mm-hmm.
It included a great many skills and people who possessed a real understanding of a great many crafts and disciplines.
All right, now I'm going to stop a moment, because
yep.
you're speaking generally. You're making a nice, beautiful general statement
mm-hmm.
about the development of education in West Georgia and what it did
yes.
and meant.
Mm-hmm.
How about Ed Yeomans in it and his feelings?
Well, my part and my feelings were that I'd been...
When you got down there, for
yes.
instance, did it seem like?
Yes. Well, it seemed like the other end of the earth when I first got down there, when we had never been south before. We were very insular, northern people, and we had a great deal to learn, and we learned fast, and not always painlessly. But I was convinced that I wanted to do something about what was referred to, you remember, by Roosevelt as the nation's economic problem number one, because I'd seen some of the effects of depression, had felt a few of them, even, and seen others who felt them very keenly, and I thought I could do something in the South where they were perhaps most apparent.
Mm-hmm. In Carroll County, wasn't the average income around $700?
Or less than
or
that,
less.
Yes.
For a year.
For a family in a year, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we began, and on a sort of series of self-help
mm-hmm.
projects that involved cooperative activity, and in the hope that people would see that they didn't have to be so isolated from
mm-hmm.
one another. In fact, that their welfare might almost be said to depend upon greater cooperation.
Yes, this is the point I wanted to get at somehow. People were raising cotton and more cotton.
5 years ago now.
5 years ago. Well, it's